doing anything exceptionally well requires commitment and perseverance. The result of such efforts are those things that enjoy high regard and stand the test of time. We are driven to create exceptional radio by bringing together talent, creativity, determination, preparation, and painstaking craftsmanship. Anything less would not be worth the effort. The Common Man Program starts right now.
And boom! Why should anybody aspire to be a common man, an average man? Do you realize what it means to be average? That means you're the best of the lousiest. And the lousiest of the best. Now, if we demand more and more for producing less and less, while the have-not nations encourage and inspire and indeed require hard work and maximum effort, if we deify the common men while they encourage and reward the uncommon ones, well, the end result of such a lopsided race as that is too obvious to require elaboration.
I mean, it's like, hello?
Okay, I got a joke for you. What do you call big meat-eating dinosaurs that get into car accidents?
What?
Tyrannosaurus Rex! Get it? Did you hear the joke about the spaceship? It's out of this world! Why did the banana have to go to the doctor's office? Why? It didn't peel up. Why is 6 afraid of 7? I don't know why. Because 7, 8, 9. Why did the Triceratops need a bandage? He had a dino sword.
Now what do you think? What do you think of that?
Offensive sets.
What a snag!
Touchdown! Vikings!
Quarterback quandary.
Yeah, I always love that one.
That was probably Zimmer being Zimmer.
I'm going to say something controversial here.
That's interesting.
Well done, young man!
He's the clown from Brown.
Well, sure I am.
He's the fourth in the north.
Think I'm not?
This is the common man, Dan Cole.
Well, I is. And, you know, I'm always looking for feature acts for Flop, Sweat, and Tears. Maybe it's been right under my nose all this time. Matter of fact, maybe it's been right under my roof. Maybe my boy. You heard Deuce. Now, that was from quite some time ago,
yeah.
Though. His voice is, he sounds like a young man now.
Does he?
Well, he's going on 15. Yeah, I mean, he's got pipes. He's PA-like.
Is he more of a baritone or a bass?
He's, which is deeper?
Bass.
He's, he's all about that case, I know that. He's all of no treble. He's all about that bass. I think he's probably more baritone right now than
baritone?
Yeah. I mean, play one of those jokes again. Play the one about the dinosaur. Can you find that one? Do you have him singled out?
Why did the Triceratops need a bandage? He had a dino sword.
And he does his own...
his own rim shot.
He does his own rim shot. Yeah, those are the old days. That's when I don't know. I mean, that material, it's... I think he borrowed the material from Monday Night Football guy. So I think he borrowed it from... but Flop, Sweat, and Tears does return Saturday. New Hope Cinema Grill. One show only, 8:30. CinemaGrill.com. Tickets, I think, priced at $15.
That's a bargain.
That is a bargain.
It's a heck of a deal.
You can still catch the Common Man docu-mocu miniseries. Go to KFAN.com, Common Man program page, and follow the prompts. And last night, Tenneby, I took my last look at the book. I skimmed it quickly. Didn't spend a lot of time. Skimmed it over one more time just to see if anything stuck out like a dinosaur before we send it off to the printer. And the only chapter I really took a close look at and went over with a fine-tooth comb was the one about Jesse Ventura. I wanted to make sure I got it right when I punched him in the face at that bar and he fell down. I wanted to make sure I got that right.
Yeah, you don't want to have any misinformation on that one.
I made sure that there was nothing there that Jesse would want to call an attorney for. And there wasn't. I mean, I'm very kind to him. And I've always liked Jesse. I've always gotten a kick out.
Sure.
And so I don't think there'll be anything in there that I see in the chapter about Jesse where he'll go, "Come and you made that up. I'm taking you to court unless you apologize." So, but it's done. Once it's done, it's done.
So when like you don't have any more work to do, that's officially done, or is there?
No, that it is,
and you're working today.
I'm exhausted. Yeah, I mean it's. If I'd had a 3-hour shift, I would not be here today. By the way, in case people are confused and they're wondering why did I hear fanfare for the Common Man at 1 o'clock? Is it daylight savings time again? It's the PJ Fleck show every single Tuesday during the college football season. He does noon to one. With Grimm and Rosen as the co-hosts out at Joe Sensor's. I think it's in Roseville, right?
Yes.
And you're always welcome to attend that. So that's why you heard fanfare for the Common Man. I know people are going, what's going on here?
Yeah.
But I don't want people to be confused. Here we are ready to go.
It's 1 o'clock, not noon.
It is 1 o'clock. It's not noon. You know what I got to thinking, Tenneby, and then I didn't have to think very far back. I was thinking, when was the last time we had some excitement in town about the Vikings? And it was last year at 5-0, and then it disappeared. And then was there the year before there was that the 11-5 year? See,
yes.
So there's that. I was thinking there hadn't been excitement with the Vikings in quite some time. And I guess when you look at the off season making it seem a lot longer, it does seem like it's been forever. But this team has actually been pretty good the last few years. I know last year, I don't know what happened to the club, but they just went into a tailspin.
Yeah.
Well, they got slaughtered. Fat Cats got slaughtered. The warning was not heeded by the players. There it is sitting on the wall and they'll go, yeah, we'll show you, coach. And guess what happened? They were fat and happy because of the 5-0 record. And what happened? They got slaughtered. So, Tenneby, is it true that fat cats get slaughtered?
Yes.
That's the only proof I have. But I think I don't think when they went on the bye week were we 6-2 going into the bye? I don't think there were any messages sent that I know of. You know, they like to keep things secret. All sports teams do, right? You know, what happens in Vegas happens in Vegas.
I think they were 5-0 going to the bye last year.
Yeah, they were. No, I said this year.
Oh, okay.
This year. We were 6-2, right?
Got it. Yes.
Yeah, you're not paying very close attention to the program.
Maybe you didn't explain it very well.
No, I did. I said this year we were 6-2 going into the bye week. And I don't think any subtle messages or even not so subtle messages were sent this year by the coaching staff, right? Last year, after 5-0, stuffed cats were hung in effigy all across the locker room where it said, and then there was a sign of some sort that said, a fat cat gets slaughtered. In other words, don't get too fat and happy over bye week and start really thinking you're something. You know, don't start puffing your chest out with pride and start thinking, we're the cat's meow, so to speak. That's the whole cat thing, right? And then they came back, and they must not have taken the coach seriously, and they went 3-8 the rest of the way. I don't think there were any subtle messages sent or messages that were not so subtle sent during bye week this week. It may have been, but, you know, it's like what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. It's similar. I think in locker rooms, these teams try to keep everything on the QT. You know, they don't want it to leak out. So maybe they did do the fat cats get slaughtered again. I don't know. But my guess is this time they decided, let's just go ahead and just treat them like adults and pretend that they're professionals and that they know what, you know, they know that it's been a lot of hard work to get to 6-2. It's only the halfway point. We know what happened last year. And so let's take our bye week seriously and not get too crazy.
And my favorite thing about the fat cats get slaughtered incident is we never really found out who slaughtered the cats. And remember that being an issue?
That's a
story, right? It was Zimmer's idea to put the cats out there.
But who slit their throats with the flake blood? We
still
don't know.
Have not. The I team has not figured that one out.
Who would you think it is? Would you think it was the butler with a monkey wrench in the library, as the old Clue game goes? Is there anybody that you
it's
would
always
think?
Colonel Mustard.
Is there anybody you think, if you go, if you look at this club and go, I wonder who that could have been?
I'd go Wobby.
Was it Norv?
Might have been that. Might have been the.
Maybe that was the.
That might have started the issue.
Maybe that started it.
Yeah.
In that.
Oh my gosh.
North kind of overstepped his bounds.
Yeah.
And you know, sort of put the icing on that. You know, he won up Zim. Then it backfired, and they're 5-2. And weren't there rumors that it came to blows? I thought there were rumors last
thing
year
we never solved.
That it came to blows. And if you remember, it was very mysterious with Zim when he said, "I hope we can be friends." Remember, he had that quote.
Aww.
"I still hope we can be friends." So I think we've never really found out. I'm going to try to do some insight, or maybe, or did we find out, and I just don't remember, or I'm not in the loop.
I don't think we found out.
I don't think we found out. It's
to this day, we've never gotten an exact reason why Norm's gone or why he left.
No. I guess it's just been assumed that he just decided too many cooks spoil the broth. He was being questioned too much and decided, "I don't need any of this." I don't know if that was it or not, or whatever the case may be. But that's all in the rearview mirror. We are at 7-2. You know what I spent yesterday doing?
Golfing?
Today. Oh. I played golf today.
What did you shoot today?
80.
Where'd we play?
Wilds Golf Club in Prior Lake.
Where'd you hit it on one?
Right up the gut.
How far from the green were you?
I was 150-ish to the pin.
Second shot?
Knocked it into 40 feet, which I guess I didn't knock it in. Knocked it out to 40 feet.
Then what?
Buried the putt for birdie.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. I was on pace to shoot 54.
40-foot putt?
Yep. To start the day. And then I parred 2, bogeyed 3. So I'm even. And then I got one of those. I mean, you make your own breaks. I get it. But it was one of, you know, number 4 at the Wilds, right? The short par 4. You have to clear the swamp. It's 292 yards. I block my drive a little right, but it stays out of that group of fairway bunkers on the right. It's that front pin. It's just sitting there. Just like if it was deer hunting season, it was just like a 12-point buck just standing in the middle of the field, just completely unaware that I'm there. And I got probably just a little under 100 yards. So I just try to hit I try to judge how hard to hit the wedge into the wind. And it comes up a foot short and plugs in the face of the bunker under the lip. I've got no shot. I'm thinking, well, I got to try to get it out of here. Though I might end up just burying it deeper into the ground, right? I swing as hard as I can. It pops straight up in the air and drops back down in the bunker. I don't have a very good lie. I get it up and out of the bunker and on the green, and then 2-putt for a 6. So, you know, 2 feet, foot and a half, a foot, I make par and I shoot 78. And then I had 2 3-putts that were bad. So I played pretty well, but I had those errors. I had the 2 3-putts and the plugged line, the bunker.
You took away those 4 long runs from Mike Kafka. He had a pretty good.
Yeah, I knew you were going there, but I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I played a pretty solid round of golf, except for a few mistakes. I'm not saying it's a great round. I'm not saying I was brilliant, but had I, and the first 3-putt was just bad. I had a long one. It was another 30-foot putt, and I hit it like 10 feet by. I don't know why. I just blasted it. But alas, playing on November. What is the date today?
14th.
14th. It was pretty nice. I have a there's just set up a little bit of the show. We're going to do 5-3-4. We'll do that at 2 o'clock as we, again, not to confuse people, but Rosen out today because of the PJ Fleck show. Also, we will be doing our, what do we call it? Our point by point, point guard comparison.
Yes.
I think it's very quiet on the Ricky Rubio front, but I have another Minnesota Vikings football. Getting back to what I did yesterday regarding the Vikings. And it's got my head spinning. I'll explain when we return to the Common Man program on The Fan.
Your shot at $1,000 now. Text the keyword BANK to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's BANK to 200-200. This is the Common Man, Dan Cole, on The
by the interim producer just in the last 30 seconds. Played the Mark Rosen promo. He won't be here at 2 o'clock today. Today is Tuesday. And the other one, today's supposed to be artists that start with the letter T. And I can say this is The Boys, so I guess you could technically say, well, no, I had that.
It's a Timothy Tuesday.
was the name of the song. We said the name of the artist. And if you'll remember, yesterday someone was giving cheap shots. They said, I didn't know the Mamas and the Papas did Operator by Jim Croce. So, because you played Operator yesterday, which is by Jim Croce, and we don't have a Jim Croce on a Monday. So those are two errors, but I'm overlooking both of them.
Okay, well, thank you.
Because they don't really affect the product in any way, shape, or form. I'm going to pay off the tee, so don't zap me yet. But I have two other things I want to get to real quick. One would be my abolishment list for October was emailed to me. I only called for three things to be abolished, Tennessee. On the 3rd of October, I was calling for the abolishment of giving a blown save to a reliever coming in before the ninth inning. The context, Belial save percentage numbers were quoted. I still don't understand why I did that, but I guess I did. I called for the abolishment. I also, on the 9th, I remember this, I called for the abolishment of all fantasy sports. Because
why'd you do that?
Taking up too much time and ruling people's lives. That people are wasting way too much time, and the world is partly the reason the world is the way it is because people are spending too much. It's sort of like when people spend all that time leading up to the NCAA tournament, all the lost productivity across the country. And then finally, on October 30th, the day before Halloween, I called for the abolishment of Major League Baseball because I was offended by the racist gesture people were offended by the racist gesture by the Astro player. Gave him a 5-game suspension, right?
Yeah.
But then they continued to allow the Indians to use Chief, is it Wahoo? Is that what they call him? As their logo. So Major League Baseball is a fraud. I'm calling for the abolishment of Major League Baseball.
Oh, my gosh.
Secondly, this email came in, Tennessee, shortly after the PJ Flex show concluded. It said Kambam. In other words, it said, I'm about to say something controversial. This could be Friday at 2:45 material. Listening to PJ Fleck constantly say over and over, academically, athletically, and spiritually. Look, I'm a good guy, but PJ, you work at a public institution. Give the spiritual stuff a rest. If that's something you want to pride yourself on and be in your culture, then maybe a school such as TCU is up your alley. One rule in working for the federal government, religion is a topic you check at the door when you punch in at work. Why is it any different with PJ and the U of M? Well, that all depends upon your definition of the word spiritual.
Yeah.
Because spiritual doesn't have to mean religious. Sorry, it doesn't. As a matter of fact, looking at, I took my handheld computer, which doubles as a communication device, and I IHOP the word spiritual. And it says, the first definition, relating to or affecting the human spirit or soul as opposed to material or physical things. Get it?
Yeah.
It says, quote, I'm responsible for his spiritual welfare. The second meaning does involve religion. It says, relating to religion or religious belief, the tribe's spiritual leader. But it doesn't have to be religion. People can believe that there is a spirit of some sort, and it has nothing to do with religious beliefs. So, again, there's a fine line, but I don't think PJ, I don't fault
him. I think you're trying too hard to find something.
Academically, athletically, and spiritually, that doesn't bother me at all. I started doing the old, we're 7-2. You know, what do we have to do to get a first round bye or get the number one seed overall? You know what? It just, there's, with so many games to go and so many teams kind of bunched, you have, I think Philly's 8-1.
Yeah.
We're 7-2. Are the Rams also 7-2?
They're 7-2. Saints are 7-2.
The Saints are 7-2. And then we have, is Carolina 7-3?
They're 7-3 now. Yeah, because
they don't have a bye.
They got a bye this week.
So they're 7-3. And then, do we have any 6-3 clubs? I know we have two.
Seattle
6-3, and then we have a couple of 5-4 clubs in Detroit and Green Bay, and maybe somebody else is 5-4 as well. So Atlanta, I think, is 5-4 as well. So it's just, I think it's almost an exercise in futility. It's fun to kind of look ahead, but to start doing, well, okay, let's look at straight, because everybody wants to do it because you're looking to fill time or just you're tired of twiddling your thumbs. So you start looking at you know, the records, you know, what's the strength of schedule for the rest of the season? And if you look at it with the contending teams, if you call 5-4 contending teams, Detroit looks like, percentage-wise, it has the easiest schedule. But I don't know how much that really matters, because on any given Sunday and from week to week, it changes. The Vikings, you would think, have their toughest stretch coming up now, right? They have home to the Rams and then 3 road games in a row, correct?
Yes.
At Detroit, is it Atlanta, then Carolina, or vice versa?
Atlanta first.
Atlanta and then Carolina. Carolina seems to have their roll on, right? Atlanta can still be dangerous. I'm not ready to write them off. They've certainly not been as impressive as they were last year. And Detroit is, they're goofy. So, you know, Detroit seems to me, when I watch them, they're either brilliant or brutal. There doesn't seem to be much in between with them. So then after that...
Seems like a lot of weird stuff happens in their games.
Absolutely. It always does. Don't we have after that, it's Cincinnati and who?
Cincinnati at home.
Yep.
At Lambeau.
Okay.
And then Chicago, week 17 at home.
Okay. And again, who knows with Green Bay now? We broached the topic yesterday. Yeah. Do you have the teeth chattering? Do we feel like this when it comes to the... Green Bay Packers, because they win at Chicago, which is not a big deal, but, you know, is it still possible Rodgers could come back, or is he just saying that to say it?
I thought the timetable was kind of mid-December.
That early? Mid-December? So he could be back even before the playoffs?
Yes.
Hmm. I thought they said...
He could be back for our game.
Really? I thought they said this was one of those, because it was on the throwing shoulder side, that it would be a little bit longer, it would be more difficult. I thought they were talking about if they made the playoffs. But maybe you're right. Then again, who knows? A week either side of that? I'm not sure.
And a lot of that might depend on where Green Bay is at, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if they're out of it, then you're probably just going to hold them out.
You're right. I'll say this. The Rams have put up a really nice record, but they've been beating up on some what would be considered mediocre clubs. Of course, we've been beating up on some mediocre clubs, though it looks like by strength of schedule and records, the Rams have had an easier go of it. I think this is the first real true test for the Rams. I like the way this sets up for the Vikings.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Do you not? I like the way it sets up for the
Purple. I think it's a pick 'em game. I think it's a 50-50 either team could win.
I think the Vikings run them out of the stadium. I think the Vikings win by 2 touchdowns. I just like what I see with the club. I just I'm not convinced the Rams.
How can you not? I mean, the Rams have blown out three opponents in a row.
That's okay. That's fine. Who did they blow out?
I know they're not playing the best teams.
Who did
in the
they
world.
Blow out?
They shut out Arizona 3 weeks ago, 33-0.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Then they won at New York 51-17.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Then they just beat the Texans 33-7.
See? Well, we'll see. But I think the Vikings are going to throw a curve or two at them. I think the Vikings are going to be good. And then it just depends. Detroit's got to beat Chicago if the Lions want to stay in contention. If they lose at Chicago, it's over. But if they win, then they know if we beat the Vikings, we got the tiebreaker and we're only a game back. So it's all setting up for that Thanksgiving Day game. When we come back, Tenneby, we'll do our... PPPPG comparison. That's on the other side of the break here on the Common Man program on the Fan.
Win tickets to the 2017 St. Paul Ice Fishing and Winter Sports Show at the St. Paul River Center. That's December 1st through the 3rd. You can win those tickets now at KFAN.com. Keyword contest. On a cloudy day.
Righteous Brothers doesn't start with a T either, Tenneby. The Righteous Brothers does not start with a T. Just remember, Fat Cats Get Slaughtered. Couple 13, 14 pass. Quick email before I pay off the T's. Tenneby, this one comes courtesy of our Brad John Bryan inbox. It says, pump the brakes, Common. Last week you said the backers will kill the Bears. Just saying your takes leave a little to be desired. In other words, me claiming the Vikings will win by a couple of touchdowns. Well, yeah, if you want to cherry pick every... and again, if John Fox doesn't challenge his own first and goal from the 2, the Bears might win that.
Yeah, how'd you not see that coming?
Yeah. How did I not see John Fox being the dunderheaded coach that he is? Yeah, all right, I missed that one. But I also picked the Vikings to win on the road at RFK when everybody told me, oh, no, This is a tough place to play. The
field's bad. I tried to tell you. Yeah.
Everybody tried to convince you. I said the Vikings will win the game. So I don't hear. He doesn't bring up that one.
Brilliant.
As a matter of fact, I think I picked the correct winner for every Vikings game this year. I'm serious. I don't think I've missed a Vikings game yet.
Wow.
I don't think I've missed a Vikings game yet. Because I picked the Detroit to beat Minnesota. Now, there might be one that maybe I missed. I might be, instead of 7-2 like the Vikings, I might be 6-3. But I've been pretty spot on with the purple to this point of the season. And I hope to continue that. Here's what I'll say, Tennessee, and this is part of my logic. The Goff kid, it's his first year. Most of the games they have gotten, and again, you know, it goes back to, you know, I always do the Jerry Cooney bit when Jerry Cooney was like 25-0 with 24 knockouts, and they asked him, well, can he take a punch? And one of his corner guys, one of his manager trainers said, maybe we'll never know.
In other words,
maybe he'll never get hit, yeah. And we'll never have to know if he has a chin or not. Well, Goff has never really had to drive a team back to win. He's never been hit early and often, hasn't found himself down 14-0 on the road. He might respond brilliantly. The Rams might, you know what? They might jump all over the Vikings just like they've done to all their opponents before then. I like this Vikings defense.
This is a different defense he's playing.
Yeah, this is a different defense, and that's where I think, especially on the road,
we're going to get him rattled.
I think we could get him rattled. I really do believe that. Now, maybe I'll come back. I'll have egg on my face. I'd like to have egg mixed with crow. Maybe I'll eat both. If Goff goes out there and he's just brilliant, you know, I say nothing phases him. He even gets down 14-0 and he brings the team back and rallies them late in the game and they win on a last second touchdown because he drives them down the field. I just get the feeling the Vikings are going to. Now again, if Ebb doesn't play, and we don't know if he's going to play, right? Because the coach basically said he was going to play and he had 2 weeks to get better, right?
Yes.
Because the injury came in the last week of the Cleveland game. So I don't know. Do we know any more about Ev? Has anything been said?
Don't know.
We don't know, so we'll just have to.
By the way, I was looking at the Rams schedule because we were looking at how soft their previous opponents were. Their games coming up are not too easy. Their schedule's getting tougher, too.
Yeah.
Because they got to go to Minnesota.
Okay.
Then they've got the 7-2 New Orleans Saints that have won 7 straight.
Okay.
At Arizona. Then they host Philadelphia.
Right.
Then they're at Seattle.
Rams could be going into a bit of a tailspin, Mabba.
That's a tough stretch.
That is a tough stretch.
We'll see if they're for real now.
We will. We absolutely, and it starts this week. Tennessee, why not? Our point-by-point point guard comparison.
A point-by-point guard comparison. Ricky Rubio and Jeff Teague.
There was much a weeping and gnashing of teeth and consternation by Rubio fans here in town, Ricky Rubio fans, when the matinee idol point guard was unceremoniously dismissed from the team last year. And the head coach, who's also, I think, president of basketball operations, whatever his title is, decided to go in a different direction. Despite the fact that Rubio, for about the last 2 months of the season, he started to do the things he'd never done that would make him good, and that's score on a consistent basis. Start to put the ball in the hole. Become a scoring threat. For so long, those of us that weren't real, I mean, you know, nothing personal against Ricky, but yeah, he dishes the ball nice and he runs he's good defensively and he knows how to run the offense and get people involved. But a lot of times I felt like playing 5-on-4 because there wasn't a lot of respect for him as a shooter. And so you didn't really have to, you got to make sure you keep a guy in his face. There better be a hand in his face when Ricky Rubio shoots. It was like, well, we can lay off this guy. As a matter of fact, we'd like him to shoot.
Especially during crunch time.
Yes. We'd like him to shoot. Because he doesn't shoot very well. So we're actually encouraging him to shoot. It's not that, you know, we're not covering him because we don't think he... We want him to shoot. But all of a sudden, he turned that around and he played a lot better. And a lot of people were miffed that the coach went another direction. Said, he finally, at least for a two-month stretch, that's a pretty long time, too, for 2 months. It's a lot of games where he was much better offensively. I think a lot of people were going, well, that was the one piece he was missing. How could you now give up on him? But he did just that, and he decided to go with Jeff Teague. Interestingly enough, the two went head-to-head last night, too. Should we do head-to-head from just last night?
Yeah, we'll just do head-to-head from last night. It's been 4 games for Rubio and 3 games for Teague since we've last done this. They now have an odd number of games. Rubio's played 14, Teague's played 13.
Okay.
But obviously, you can go by the per game overall. But
Okay.
Yeah, but look at tonight. We'll look at last night.
Well, why don't we do that look at last night? Because that's, I mean, what's better than to compare the head-to-head matchup between Ricky Rubio of the Utah Jazz and Jeff Teague of the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Reminder, we have six categories. Points, assists, rebounds, steals, turnovers, and plus minus. Last time we did this, they were each tied at three categories apiece. So we'll begin with points. And Ricky Rubio last night, just 3 points. He's averaging 13.6 per game. Jeff Teague last night scored 22.
Whoa.
This is a category Rubio has always led, but Teague has now surpassed Rubio with 13.7 per game. He's up 0.1 points per game. So,
advantage, Jeff Teague.
How do you only score 3 points in an NBA basketball game when you're the point guard? That doesn't even seem possible.
What? I'm amazed how a player can go from getting 30 points one game and then three the next. That just seems impossible to me.
Wow, how about that? And if you look at last night's, if you dig a little deeper into the numbers from last night's interview, Rubio was 1 for 7 from the floor.
No!
1 for 7 from the floor. And I don't think he made a three-pointer the entire game. Meanwhile, Teague, 7 for 15, almost 50% from the floor.
That's pretty good.
And his free throws, he was 4 for 4 from the floor. So besides that, Rubio only played 22 minutes. The coach couldn't even keep him on the floor.
He didn't play in the fourth quarter at all.
Yeah, think about that. Whereas Jeff T played 37 minutes, 35 seconds. So just last night, just in time spent playing and certainly in scoring, Teague destroyed Ricky Rubio.
Wonder if Teague will put him into a tailspin now after last night's game.
Yeah.
If we'll see the decline of Ricky Rubio.
Well, let's find out. Let's go to our next category.
Let's go to assists. Last night, Ricky Rubio, he had 2 assists. He's averaging just 5.6 per game. Teague last night, not a great number himself, 3 assists, but he is averaging 7.5 per game on the season. So,
advantage, Jeff Teague.
Well, you know what I'm discovering when you have a Jimmy Buckets butler on your club? Because he's good at distributing as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's. I'm not saying he's like... You know,
you're comparing him to LeBron?
Yeah, I'm comparing him to LeBron, but he had, I think, double-digit assists last night. This was after he said, you know what, I'm going to start shooting more. He scored 21 points, I think, which is still a nice, you know, that's, anytime you can score 20 points in an NBA basketball game, I think you've had a nice night. But to add the 10 assists to that, maybe that takes away from Teague a little bit, because Butler is getting other people involved. But again, overall through the season, Teague averaging almost 2 assists more per game.
All right, so Teague's up 2-0. Let's go to rebounds. Rubio last night, shut out. 0 rebounds. So he's averaging 3.8 per game. Teague last night, he had 3 boards. He's averaging 3.2 per game. So despite last night, Rubio still.
Advantage, Ricky Rubio.
Yeah, okay.
Not a good...
No.
Not a good box score for Rubio last night.
No, not at all.
Well, let's at least maybe move on to the defensive side of things.
Okay.
Steals. Rubio last night, shut out. He had 0 steals. He's averaging 1.9 per game. Teague had 1 steal last night, averaging 1.8 per game. That's 0.1 shy of Rubio.
Advantage, Ricky Rubio.
Okay.
So Rubio's even it up. We're at 2-2 in the 4 categories so far. Let's move on to turnovers. Rubio last night, his playing time actually helps him in this category because he only
played 22 minutes. Yeah.
Last night in turnovers, he had 3 turnovers last night. He's averaging 3.9 per game. Teague last night, 5 turnovers. Still, though, take in the lead with only 3.6 per game.
Advantage, Jeff Teague.
So Teague's up 3-2.
And now we go to what I think is the most important category of all, and that would be the plus-minus. It's good to be plus, correct? That means when you're on the floor, good things are happening to your team, positive things. While if you're in the minus category, that means bad things are happening to your club.
All right, let's go to plus-minus. Rubio last night, minus 11. He is minus 41 on the season. Teague, who, by the way, the last 2 performances going into last night had 2 straight games of minus 20 or worse. but he rebounds last night. Plus 14 for Jeff Teague. He's minus 6 on the season.
Advantage, Jeff Teague.
So Jeff Teague leads in what now?
So Teague leads 4 categories, and Rubio leads in 2 of them. That means our winner as of right now.
Advantage, Jeff Teague.
And again, this would be the fine print. You know, anytime you sign like a some type of a document, there's always fine print. Take out a loan or something of that nature. It's difficult when teams are constructed differently.
Sure.
Right? Teague might have better players around him than Rubio. Depends upon a lot of about your opposition and how games are progressing, et cetera, et cetera. But there's still the comparison is so many people wanted Rubio. And to this point, I think, and the record would indicate, that the Wolves are a better team with Jeff Teague at point guard than Ricky Rubio. It's still early, though. It's still early.
Well, and the one part Rubio was dominating that surprised me was points. He's now come back to earth here the last couple of games.
Yeah, he absolutely has. When we come back, Tennessee, we'll do. Remember, I don't want to confuse people. We're doing 5-3-4 at 2 because of the PJ Flex show. That's next.
A local stare down is taking place leading up to the Super Bowl.
He's the Harry Houdini of radio. It's the Common Man, Dan Cole, on The Fan.
Join The Fan along with Paul Allen and Paul Charchian for a football feast at Buffalo Wild Wings in Oakdale this Friday, November 17th. More details at KFAN.com, keyword events.
I'm going to tease the next segment now and remind me to tease it again, but I'm wondering if there's some rumblings in town regarding one of the local teams, and if it's true, it would represent a sea change in the way they operate, but I'm not sure I believe it. But we'll get to that on the other side of 5-3-4.
Time now for 5 questions. Well, actually 3, but 5 sounds like more than 4. Question number 1. It's time now for the lowdown in Dinky Town.
The Gopher men's basketball team beat Providence 86-74 last night at Dunkin' Donuts Center. Jordan Murphy tallied 23 points and 14 rebounds. Nate Mason added 17 points. Common, are you interested in the early season non-conference games for the Gophers, or are you a get on top of the Big Ten standings and get back to me kind of guy this season?
Well, actually, I had someone, Indie Film Guy, sent me, we text and talk more than most people know. He sent me a text that said, this Gopher basketball team is legit. My text back was, get to the Sweet 16 and get back to me. We were in the NCAA tournament last year.
Yeah.
We should be better. We like our team better. We were ranked 15th in the nation preseason. We're now 14th in the nation. Though this game did from the fact that what I'm told is that Providence was also in the NCAA tournament last year.
Returned all their starters.
And they're returned all the starters. And they're one of the better teams in, is it, the Big East? So that's a nice
test.
They
were favored in the game, Providence was.
Yes, so that's a nice test. So I was interested, though I forgot it was an early game until I got the text from Indie Film Guy. It was funny because when I left here, I thought, hey, because wasn't it a 5:30 start, I think, here in town? So I thought, hey, 5:30 start, I'll get home in time to watch the game. And then I got caught up in a little of this, a little of that, with the emphasis on the lat. I'd forgot, so I didn't see a bucket. I wished I would have, because it sounds like it was a solid game. Did we jump out to the early lead? Is that what I saw? And then
I think we're 12-0 out of the gate.
And then Providence rallied back and actually took the lead. And then, you know, that's where, you know, teams are tested. You know, when it comes to, if it's gut check time, Tennessee. And again, just because they did it against Providence doesn't mean the next time they're in a situation, let's say a Big Ten game against a really good opponent like a Michigan State, that if they get out to an early lead and give up that lead, if they're going to be able to, you know what, let's dig down deep here and let's retake that lead and win the game. But that's a nice start. That's a nice win. I can't argue that. I like the way the Gopher basketball team looks. I do like March Madness, especially that very first weekend.
Oh yeah,
but it's much better when you have the local team involved.
Of course,
it's much more fun. So I like what I saw, and it's Yeah, now I think the next two games we have like a a Western Carolina and I don't know. I looked at it today. I don't think it's nearly going to be as much of a challenge as Providence. We've got, Gopher men's basketball, Niagara, which is known for honeymoons. You know what? Matter of fact, I think my headline's going to be Niagara Falls, Gophers win, right? Niagara, that's tomorrow. It's so little is thought about that game, you can't watch it on TV anywhere. There's no TV. So that should be a route. And then we play something called Western Carolina on Sunday. So again, I'm assuming we'll go to 4-0,
sure.
Right? I mean, I don't even think, I'm not going to call those trap games even. I just think, I think a 14th team in the nation will win handling both those games.
Question number two. It's now time to take an in-depth look at the welfare of the Wolves. Mouse is alive, juice is like wine, and
I'm hungry like the wolves. Wolves improved to 8-5 with a 109-98 win over the Utah Jazz last night. On the road, the Wolves set a franchise record by reaching 100 points for a 12th consecutive game. Karl Anthony Towns passed 3,000 career points and 2,000 rebounds. The only other player to do that in NBA history before his 22nd birthday is Dwight Howard. Common, did you watch last night's game? And if so, your thoughts?
Oh, what time was that on?
Would it have been 8 o'clock game?
Oh, you know, I was doing something at 8 o'clock. I didn't see a bucket of that one either. I was at open gym. I think I made the statement when we got beat by... Who did we lose to? And I declared that I was actually... In an odd way, there was a silver lining. I was actually happy because now I don't have to pay attention to the Wolves because they're just the same old Wolves. I mean, they're better than the same old Wolves, but they're the same old Wolves. So, no, I didn't watch. I don't know how much I'll watch unless things get really interesting. That's a nice win. It's nice because we had the road trip. We lost to Golden State and we lost to Phoenix.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know much about Phoenix, but I think that's a game you want to win.
If they blew that one later.
Yeah, and you blew that late. So it's nice to get back in the win column, and they still right now are they 8-5 on the year?
Yes,
I believe that would leave them to be on pace to win like 50 games. So still closer to what I predicted than a lot of other people did, but scoring over 100 points gives you a pretty good chance to win.
They're on pace for 50.5 games.
Yeah, so
for wins.
So scoring over 100 points is nice. The Towns kid is remarkable, and Jimmy Butler's kind of that, to this point, he's kind of that, the glue that holds it all together.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's nice. It's like I say, though, and let me preface it by saying, because people do, yeah, no one, everybody have any fun. If you like hoops, and you like NBA, and you like the Wolves, knock yourself out, have fun, and enjoy it. But I just, what the... The end game is the best case scenario for this team is getting beaten 4 in the Western Conference Finals to Golden State, right? They can't beat Golden State. So, I mean, and I'm not saying that wouldn't be fun, but it's like Tennessee, if you and I were going to race each other on hockey skates. I don't know how to skate. You're going to win. No matter what, right? I can't even get up on skates.
There's a 0.001% chance of you winning. That would be me somehow falling or getting injured.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's about the chances of the Wolves beating the Golden State Warriors in the best of seven
playoff series. If Curry and Durantula both got hurt,
so
there's your chance.
I think what I'll do is maybe the next time they play Golden State, I want to see how much further along we've gotten. And then some of that will be dictated by how they play leading up to that. If they're sitting around 500, I don't think I'll spend much time. But if now they keep winning, they keep that pace of winning 8 out of every 13 or 9 out of every 13, something like that, I'll keep an eye on them and maybe watch a Golden State. Give me, hey, it looks like they'll probably be a playoff team. I'll watch some playoff basketball. But I can't get too excited about the club when I know what's at the end of the rainbow,
Well, the end of the rainbow of last night's win is today at PapaJohns.com. You can put in the online promo code WOLVESWIN. You'll get 50% off a large or extra large pizza.
Question number three. Time now for an in-depth look at the state of the state of hockey. You were born the child of the strong and wild.
Zucker's got a chance to set an NHL record?
Yeah.
Did I read that correctly today in the Fish Wrap Factory West and East?
You are correct.
The NHL record for... What is the record for most goals scored consecutively by one player on his team?
The record is 7. He's at 6.
If you're the rest of it, if you're his teammates, you just keep feeding him so he can tie that record and then get it on his own? You pass up a chance to score so that you don't spoil Zucker's...
Well, apparently they've been doing that for 3 games, his teammates have been.
Hold on a second. First you'll get this, but then you'll get...
I really think the Wild are going to turn around. They've been getting good goaltending, and all the other players are about to start scoring.
Yeah. That does seem to me... You know, we can talk about all the different records that there are in sports, and there's literally hundreds of thousands of different records, right? That's one that is, seems to me, that's a lot of goals to score consecutively. Because you've got how many guys, it's a 60-minute game, you're only skating one every, I mean, I know that some...
3-4 lines, yeah.
Yeah, 3 or 4 lines, so yeah. how many minutes are you generally getting? I mean, I know it differs game to game,
yeah,
but...
Yeah, your top forwards are getting... 18, 19, 20 minutes a game.
Yeah. And there's other guys that are good scorers on this team.
Sure.
Right? And that you're the only guy scoring. I do think it's actually kind of astonishing to me.
And it's kind of a bizarre record because it's great for him. That means he's playing well and he is.
Right.
But it's also saying the rest of the team's not doing enough.
Right.
They're not doing well, right?
Yeah, they're not.
Their inability to put the puck past the goal line is producing your record. So it's kind of a weird record to really evaluate. As you mentioned, Wild versus Flyers, that game's at 7 o'clock tonight. You'll hear it right here on The Fan. Which streak are you most intrigued by in tonight's game, Common? Would it be Jason Zucker's consecutive goal streaks? He's currently sitting at 6. Devan Dubnyk's shutout streak, currently at 135 minutes and 5 seconds. Or the Wild's winning streak, which is currently at 2 games.
Mm. Which one did you... What was the question about it, though?
Which streak are you most intrigued by? You just spent 5 minutes talking about Zucker, so apparently.
The Zucker thing, though, obviously. You know what, Tenneby, I'm a team player. Where's Doke? Give me the Doke.
I don't even know where that one is anymore.
Doke. Doke. How about that preposterous statement? I'm a team player. Doke. Because, you know, again, it's winning and losing, so that's the one that's the most important. You'd want to win. Again, is Philadelphia any good at all?
No, they're about the same spot the Wild are. The Wild, that's the last team they just.
Oh, right.
The Wild
they
just
shut
beat Philadelphia 1-0 at Philadelphia on Saturday night. Now they come back here tonight.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question about schedule. This is a quirk. How often is it? Why would they be playing Philadelphia back-to-back games?
They've done kind of the home and home thing before. They've done it with Winnipeg before. They've done it with St. Louis. The Philadelphia is a little weird because you only play them twice a year to begin with.
That's...
You know, a part of me thinks it's actually, I could see why you'd want to do it more, just from a rivalry standpoint of, all right, that team just beat you 2 nights ago, now you might be a little bit more upset and have a little bit more intensity going into tonight. You might have created a little rivalry out of that game, and you want to...
Now, you know I've got 4 years of college eligibility remaining, and 2 of high school, and I'm not very bright. I'm very poor at math. I can tell you what I'm on pace for on the golf course after the first hole, the second hole, and the third hole, then I have to wait till I get to the sixth, because 4 and 5 don't divide evenly into 18. But I would think putting together a pro sports schedule, particularly like hockey, when you're only playing one game, not a series, baseball, you're doing 3 and 4 game series. Football, it doesn't seem like it's that difficult. You've got, 32 teams, and we got to match up.
You already know your opponents ahead of time.
Hockey in the NBA... And then you have to take all the other things into consideration. How many concerts are scheduled there?
Sure.
How many of this, and who's got that, and where are you just...
Certain nights, the facilities are not...
Yeah, and they're trying to make travel less. I don't know who's responsible for that, but I hope he gets a decent
paycheck. I would love that job.
You would? Could you think you could see? I could not do that job. You would see a lot of... See, to me, Philadelphia, and then Philadelphia again 2 nights later, was the guy that was put in the... had a brain cramp. And he went, oh, man, what am I going to do? I was going so good up until now. I guess I'm going to have him just play the... Maybe they won't notice. And he just kind of, it's kind of putting the round peg in the sky. Because you just shouldn't do that. You play him twice, it should be spread out. I don't care, but I think that was a scheduling problem with the guy that put it together. That's his one black mark on the season so far. I like this. I would love to see Zucker get the next two goals for the Wild. Would love it. Maybe it'll even happen tonight. Maybe just bang, bang, he scores right away. But more importantly, Tennessee, we want to win.
Question number three.
Unionized transit workers in the Twin Cities Metro have rejected a final contract offer and authorized a strike during Super Bowl festivities in February. I'm about to butcher.
Oh my gosh.
Which union is this?
I'm about to butcher the name because I have no idea. Amalgamated Transit Union, Local 1005.
Are those the bus drivers or caddies?
Represents about 2,500 bus drivers, light rail operators, and other Metro Transit workers. Members voted Sunday and Monday to reject the Metropolitan Council's last contract offer by a 93% margin.
Wow.
The union says changes to work rules, outsourcing, and security for bus drivers are the main stumbling blocks to an agreement. The Met Council says it's confident a deal can be reached before the Super Bowl. Common, are you concerned or confident about a transit strike during Super Bowl festivities?
Neither, because I won't leave my house the entire week of the Super Bowl. I don't use mass transit. Well, they picked the right time to do it, right? Because I think they've got some leverage. If I understand it right, if you decide to say, you know, we can't reach an agreement and you decide to walk out, they can, I mean, the bus has got to run, the train's got to go, so you go out and you get, what do they call them, scabs, right? You go out and find other people that will cross a picket line and that will go ahead and work. And I don't think you'd have any trouble finding anybody says...
Can they hire some from, like, Chicago or something? Just, like, for a week?
I guess you could. I don't know.
It's kind of an important week to have.
Yeah, but if they're also amalgamated in Chicago, I don't think you have the brotherhoods going against each other. You'd have to go in and hire guys like Meat Sauce to drive a bus, which would be dangerous. Could you see Meat Sauce behind the meat, especially one of those accordion buses? You know, the one that has the big big accordion in the middle?
No!
Lucky.
I don't know how those drivers drive those things.
No, I'm stunned. I will tell you this though. I think probably driving a bus is not, it's bigger, but it's similar to, I've driven the big RV before. And at first I thought, man, how do I get behind the wheel of this? How do you make corners in city streets? And then I thought to myself, well, 80-year-old guys with those big wraparound sunglasses are driving them. If they can do it, I must be able to do it. And I found it relatively easy. Bus driver's not a bad gig if you can get it, right?
Yeah.
I mean... Now, again, they're talking about security because, I don't know, maybe bus drivers are getting beat up. I don't know. But my guess is they will come to some type of... Because it doesn't sound like it's... What are their biggest sticky points? It doesn't even say money, does it?
Work rules. Changes to work rules. Outsourcing and security.
Yeah. What does the outsourcing mean? I don't get that. Well, anyway, I sure do hope they get things fixed.
And that's it for today's edition of Five Questions. Well, actually, three questions, but five sounds like more than four.
I'm suspicious of a rumor going around town that I'll explain when I return to the Common Man program on the Fan.
Your shot at $1,000 now. Text the keyword WIN to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's WIN to 200-200. You're listening to The Common Man on The Fan.
It's your man, a heating and air conditioning weather forecast, live from our Cablean studios. I'm the Common Man, Dan Coltsman, and Hot Stacks of Wax. Drizzle on and off today. High should be mid-40s tonight. Look for the lows to be mid-30s. Then for tomorrow, cloudy skies. Mercury should play tag with 36 right now.
In the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, it's 44 degrees. Let's go back to 1976. This is Jay Ferguson. It's called Thunder Island on your home for the hits, FM 100.3, Da Fan.
M'lady.
There's no getting around it, Tenevi. I'm going to pay off the tees, don't get me wrong, but it seems like it doesn't matter what time of day, what day of the week, everybody wants to talk. Viking quarterback quandary. So will you hit the Viking quarterback quandary? I think because we have it, don't we? Didn't we create an open for this? Well, it's a good thing we did because this topic just won't die. It won't go away.
We did create it. I just never remember where I put it.
There's two of them, actually. There's two of them.
There's two of them?
Yeah, because we did one from when you were gone, we discovered another one that we had done. We always have a quarterback quandary here in Minnesota, it seems like. We're never really settled on a QB. It always seems to be we've got, and that's not a good thing, because generally speaking, if you've got a quarterback quandary, it's because one guy doesn't really stand out. Though some people would say one of our quarterbacks does. Did you find it yet?
Touchdown, Vikings!
Quarterback quandary.
Yeah, is that the new one that you had made?
I think so.
There's another one that's, I think, it might be quarterback conundrum. I don't know. I heard it.
I remember this one. I'm searching for these now. Is it
okay?
Viking quarterback quagmire.
Yeah, that was quarterback quagmire. Yeah. Almost similar to Keystone Cops and Bruce Boudreaux. See, I like this with the. Yesterday, we were, as part of our talking about, should you keep playing Case or give Teddy a shot? Do you give Teddy a shot, starting? Do you do it in a mop-up role? Do you wait till we've clinched the division? And it just goes on and on and on. And most people, I shouldn't say most. I really don't know where it stands as far as a percentage. People, if you polled 100 people, if you polled 100 Viking fans and did, you know, the man in the street thing and did, who do you like? Keenum or Bridgewater? I think it might, is it split right down the middle, or do you think it's more people are leaning Keenum because of the 7-2 record? And he's not responsible for all of it, but he's been the guy under center for only, Bradford started game one, like game four or five, and he only played the first half of one game. So that's 7.5 games has been Case Keenum, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you get any kind of a feel, because you monitor Twitter, I don't. Do you get a feel for what, would you say, like, if this was a presidential race, is it a dead heat? Is it too close to call? Are you ready to announce a victor? You know, do you say we're projecting Teddy Bridgewater would be the winner if we did a poll? Should we do?
We could do a poll.
Should we do it? I mean, we haven't done one in ages, and generally when we do, we forget to check the results anyways because we get bored and disinterested with the entire process. But now
I'm not sure with our new.
If we can do
a way of doing program pages, if we can even do a poll. I can do it on my Twitter account.
Okay, so, because yesterday, one of the things that was brought up, we were talking about was quarterbacks who came off the bench, replaced QBs that were injured, and had not only a successful season, but monumentally. And the one that somebody emailed about yesterday was Tom Brady. Was that in 2001?
Yes.
He came off the bench to replace Drew Bledsoe. Is that correct?
Correct.
And led the Patriots not only to the playoffs, not only to the AFC Championship, not only to the Super Bowl, but they won the Super Bowl that year, did they not?
They did.
And now you say,
I think against your greatest show on turf.
I think that is it. And now I believe you told me, I asked you during the break if you were monitoring Twitter, and you said yes, and you said the one story that seems to be trending is, or comments on a story that I think ESPN TV did today.
Yeah, ESPN has a show called NFL Live.
Right, NFL Live. And they did a show, NFL Live, and they were talking about that. They were comparing the Bledsoe to Brady season to the Bradford to Keenum season. And according to the statistics, I mean, the numbers of, yards, attempts, and blah, blah, Keenum has performed better than Brady. Is that what the conclusion has been?
Yeah, so they had a graphic that's titled, Not Saying, But I'm Saying, and it says Notable Backup Quarterbacks. It compares 2001 Tom Brady to 2017 Case Keenum, pretty much their first seven games after they took over as the new starter. So they have four different categories. Win-loss record, Brady, 2001 Brady, 5-2. 2017 Keenum, 5-2. Completion percentage, 2001 Brady, 63%. 2017 Keenum, 65%. Advantage Case Keenum. Passing yards per game, 2001 Tom Brady, 178. 2017 Case Keenum, 239. Advantage Case Keenum. Touchdowns, interceptions, 2001 Tom Brady, 11 TDs to 5 interceptions. 2017 Case Keenum, 11 TDs to 5 interceptions. The exact same TD to interceptions.
So, statistically, Case Keenum is playing better than Tom Brady played in Tom Brady's Super Bowl year when he took over for an injured Drew Bledsoe.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, this was part of the discussion yesterday, too, if you'll remember. The discussion was, we brought up other quarterbacks who early in their career didn't appear to have star quarterback written all over them, right? You know, we talked, the first example that popped into my head was Kurt Warner, bagging groceries at Hy-Vee. He's got a great, big, huge bust in the Lingerie Football League. He's in that Hall of Fame. He's also in the Arena Football League Hall of Fame, and he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's in all three. And he went from being a guy who was basically an afterthought in pro football to winning a Super Bowl and a couple of MVP awards. And there have been other quarterbacks that have fit that bill as well. And people are, you know, Rich Gannon. We brought up Gannon. Gannon, when he was here, he and I think it was Salisbury were the two guys that were in a quarterback quagmire back in the early 90s, right? It was either going to be Gannon or Salisbury. Salisbury or Gannon. They were going back and forth, back and forth. And then Gannon, I don't know if he became a vagabond. I don't know if he immediately went to Oakland. But he ended up having a lot of success. I think he was the league's MVP one year. I think he got to a Super Bowl with Oakland but did not win it. I think he might have lost to the Gruden coach, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if my recollection is recollecting correctly. But I don't know if it is. So is it possible Keenum is that guy that could be, you know, I don't want to say Kurt Warner-ish because, you know, Warner ended up being, I don't know, maybe. My guess is no. But even Rich Gannon-like, I don't think Gannon's headed to the Hall, I don't think. But could he be Gannon-like? And, you know, I mean, I know we had the two bad throws in the second half that put Washington back in the game. And again, you can't take those away. You know, it's like taking away my double bogey and my 2-3 putts or Kafka's 68, 78, 88, 98-yard touchdown passes. But maybe it's not fool's gold. Maybe with this offensive system, the players he's got with receivers, he's got some talent there. Diggs and Thielen are both really good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rudolph can catch passes. He's not much after yards after the catch, but he catches balls. The two running backs are doing a decent job, and the offensive line has been, I would say, excellent to this point. And then when you couple that with a top three, top four defense, and maybe he is better than we all thought, right? Maybe he is.
Well, people have focused a lot on the two interceptions versus Washington.
Yeah.
I'll say a couple things on it. One, he was absolutely brilliant the rest of the game.
Brilliant.
Right? So I can take a bad throw every once in a while when you're playing at that exceptional of a level. Two, it's not like he's had a tendency of turning the ball over this season, right? It's not like this is a repetitive problem where you're going, God, this guy just gives it away too often and it's going to come back to bite us. He's been pretty safe with the football, as you just read on that stat.
Yep.
He's thrown five interceptions this year. So I'm willing to forgive his two bad throws. And the third part is, I liked how he responded, right? Washington got that thing into a one-score game after his two interceptions, and he put us in a bad spot.
And he drove us down the field.
Yep. Put the team in field goal position, and that was ball game at that moment. So I liked how he responded from it.
You got to like how a guy responds to that. Like, for instance, I can have just an awful segment, and I can come right back and have a great one. We're hoping that happens next. We'll take the break. I'm going to pay off my other tees. You can zap me if I don't. And then it is amazing. We're getting full phone lines in the Bradshaw and Bryant inbox is blowing up with Keenum versus Bridgewater emails. We'll take a look at some of those next on The Fan.
You're listening to The Common Man. On The Fan.
Experience Maui with the Bumper to Bumper Show. Book a once-in-a-lifetime package with defined destinations that includes a six-night stay, airfare, excursions, live broadcasts, and more. Limited trips available, so act fast. Details at KFAN.com.
Couple 13, 14 past here on the Common Man program. I want to pay off the tease for last segment that I did not pay off. Just quickly, because I do want to get into the Keenum versus Bridgewater imbroglio?
Quarterback quagmire?
Imbroglio? Would you look up the word imbroglio? Is that how you say it? I love the word. It's a great word. I don't know. I don't think I'm pronouncing it correctly. I'm not even sure of the definition. I-M-B-R-O-G-L-I-A. And if they have the pronunciation thing, I would love that.
Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Oh, I hope it works because I really want to know how to say the word. I'm going to say
imbroglio.
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 I'm going to start using it a lot, particularly if I understand the definition. Imbroglio. What does it say about imbroglio?
The first one says a confused mass.
My brain is a confused mass.
An intricate or complicated situation.
There you go. This is an intricate and complicated situation with a quarterback. It's the Keenum Bridgewater imbroglio. Can we get Dave Allen to do that?
I love that one.
Get him to do the Keenum Bridgewater quarterback imbroglio. Imbroglio sounds like something you would eat at a fancy restaurant too. I'll see if you can get him to do that. But quickly, this story was sent to me by my baseball source yesterday. It's from something called SB Nation. Is that Super Bowl Nation? Is this a website? What's SB Nation?
Sports. Something nation.
Okay. This is their Major League Baseball Daily Dish. And it says, Major League Baseball trade rumors, Twins interested in Reds, Raisel Iglesias? Is he? I think he's related to Julio.
Yes.
But I'm not sure.
And Enrique.
According to John Morosi of MLB.com, and I'm assuming he's got cred. I think he's got diamond cred. It says, the Twins are looking into whether or not Reds closer Raisel Iglesias is available for trade. Morosi says the Twins are, quote, performing due diligence on many bullpen names, end of quote. He finished with 28 saves and 30 opportunities while posting a 2.49 ERA last year. He had garnered interest at the trade deadline last year, but the Reds stood pat. Here's one reason to believe the Twins could be looking for that. The last pair or the last sentence of the last two sentences of the story say, along with having a strong season, what makes the 27-year-old Iglesias attractive is that he has a friendly contract. He's only owed $14.5 million over the next 3 years before he's eligible for arbitration in 2021. He is a free agent in 2022, which leads me to believe there could be some truth to that rumor because that's standard Minnesota Twins fare. That's exactly how they operate. Look for guys that look like they got some talent and you can get them real cheap, right? Because they don't like to spend any money. But I also wonder, too, because I'm so suspicious and I'm so cynical of everybody, there's something that tells me that Falvey and Levine plant stories. Remember we've talked about this before?
Oh,
where teams will, the Twins have done it before, where like, hey, we offered Hunter a big deal. We offered him $40 million over 8 years, but we just don't have that kind of money. So you lowball him, which is still a lot of money for the Twins, but they know they never had to pay it. They never, because they knew Hunter was going to get much more on the open market. So they go, we tried. Poor us. We just don't have enough money because we don't make enough dough. And so I'm almost wanting to say, the Twins are interested in this guy. We'll find out he goes somewhere else. And they'll do, we were in the mix, but we just didn't have enough. But I'm hoping it's true because this would be, if you just go by the numbers and what my ball guy tells me, he said this move would excite him. And he's not a Polat pocket
protector.
He's cynical like me. And so he likes the move. So if indeed the Twins are doing that, I would be all for it. I would like to see him move
forward. Should we get a free agency update, by the way?
Yes, let's do a free agency update.
The Minnesota Twins free agency spending splurge total is...
Zero, right?
Yeah, they're at zero.
We've not signed anybody yet.
No!
On the Keenum Bridgewater imbroglio. We have to have names. It's very similar to politics, right, Tenneby? Because you have two sides that are strong.
Yeah.
So remember, and you know how I have lunatic liberals and what's the other one?
Crackpot conservatives.
How about this, Tenneby? Bridgewater bozos and Keenum crazy. Right?
Sure.
Because it has to be derogatory, right? It's got to be, you know, because it's lunatic liberals and crackpot conservatives. So it's got to be, you're either a Bridgewater bozo or you're a Keenum crazy. You've already done a Twitter poll,
yep,
and it's trendy. What is your Twitter poll results right now?
The program poll says, which quarterback would you like to see starting Sunday versus the Rams?
Oh.
We have 357 votes in.
How many?
357. I'm not sure of the margin of error that you have to attach to
You've
all these
You've got a lot of people responding already, because this poll's only been up for what?
14 minutes. Case Keenum right now is at 80%, Teddy Bridgewater at 20%.
Wow. 80, 20.
Maybe it's not as many teddy bears as we thought.
Teddy what? Teddy bears?
Isn't that what you call them?
Not anymore. We call them Bridgewater bozos.
Maybe there's not as many Bridgewater bozos out there as we thought.
Yeah, maybe there's not as many Bridgewater bozos. Well, maybe it's the way you worded the question, though. This Sunday, how about just like by the end of the season, who would you... to me, it would be like, if the Vikings make the playoffs, who would you want the quarterback to
be?
You
want me to change? You want me to do that poll
now?
Well,
maybe we should do that, because this Sunday, I think most people, wow, Rams and Teddy's been hurt. I don't want to see him start. But maybe that wouldn't change it at all. Maybe I'm making it too complicated.
Well, I mean, if you want Teddy at the end of the year, wouldn't you want him now?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you would. How about just, who do you want as Vikings quarterback? Let's see if that changes it at all. Who would you like to see the Minnesota Vikings starting quarterback for the rest of the season? I mean, yeah, maybe it's fine the way it is. But you're right, it probably is the same. Who do you want to see at quarterback for this coming Sunday? So we'll keep it. Let's take a couple of phone calls. First, though, I'd like to read this regarding the Brady... Keenum comparison that ESPN was doing today. One response is, I like this one. That last comparison, Brady to Keenum, was one of the funniest things I've heard in a long time. Thank you for that. And I thought it was rather amusing as well. Here's another one, though, that comes in. Tenneby, where did it go? Oh, my gosh. Here it is. It says, that was Brady's first year. If we were seeing this level of play out of Keenum in his first year, we wouldn't be discussing Teddy. We would be discussing Keenum being our franchise starter for years to come. Same is true for Warner. He played well initially. But that is not the case with Keenum. He's had plenty of starts and has demonstrated for many years that he's a good backup quarterback. The only comparison might be Gannon, but Gannon was not thrown to the wayside by multiple teams before success with the Raiders. Perhaps Keenum is finally in the right system, but history suggests that there will be a regression to the mean as opposed to this being the new Case Keenum. And yes, I tend to agree with that, but that's the beauty of sports, and that's the beauty when you put the human element into it. When you put the human element into it. When I watched Tenneby first swing a golf club, his 5-iron could just as well have been a pitchfork. I actually see hope in him now. If you would have told me when you first started playing, I would have said, you have zero chance of becoming a competent player. Now I think you do. So if it can change for you, why can't it change for Case Keenum?
And let's talk about the wide receiver on the Vikings that Case Keenum's thrown the ball to, Adam Thielen. A year or two ago, you know, let's say last year, the first time he had 4 catches for 60 yards, I'd be like, that's a nice performance, that's great, but he's undrafted, he's never really proven at this level.
He played Division II, wasn't it? Is that where he played?
Played at Mankato. Yeah, like, he's not going to keep...
No, it's a cute little
ascending
local story, you know, and he had a couple of nice games, and that's great. And he'll be able to tell his grandkids about it. You know, I played for the Vikings with a cup of coffee, but no, it's over.
And now people are actually comparing him to the best wide receivers in the league.
You had him compared to Chris Carter yesterday, and I was comparing him. Who was I comparing him to?
I also compared Keenum to Aaron Rodgers at one point.
You compared Keenum to Rodgers, and who did I compare?
Thielen to?
Who?
You had him to Steve Largent, or someone else did.
Yeah, I was comparing him to Steve Largent. That's how he's being talked about as a possible Pro Bowl wide receiver. So Right now,
I think he will be a Pro Bowl wide receiver, barring an injury.
Keenum's a Pro Bowl quarterback right now, is he not?
Yes, right now he would be, yes.
He is. You take away Deshaun Watson because he's out for the year now.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson's out. Right now, Keenum's the second-ranked quarterback in the National Football League behind Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
He's number two, numbers-wise. Let's run calls, order which they were received. Take this one from... Well, let's take this first. I'm sorry. Bill, you wanted to talk about the transportation union strike.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the strike, but first I would like to say, right now I'd like to offer Case Keenum an 8-year, $80 million contract.
Wait, hold on a second. I think Tennessee would be all for that.
No. 10 years ago when American Crystal had their little strike and whatever, I was working over in East Grand Forks delivering, and the people that took over there, they were all from North Carolina in that area and stuff like that. They put them up in a hotel.
Oh, really?
Let them work as long as they wanted, 15, 20 hours a day if they wanted. You know, so those guys were making mega bucks or whatever during the time that they were on strike. And I know that strike lasted at least a year or so.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the information. Thanks for the update. So it is certainly possible they could ship people in. Maybe Tennessee's right. Maybe Tennessee's first, at first blush, he was blushed. Mike, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing? Finally, common sense may prevail here.
Okay.
That poll said something like 80-20 with Keenum. And you know what? They're right. And I know it's your job to kind of stir things up a little bit and get a little controversy going.
Mike, I'm not the one that's, you know, it's not like I started this whole Keenum, Bridgewater, and Broglio. Thanks for giving me credit to be that influential. But this topic came up. You know, it's not me who's. It continues. If people are talking about it all the time. It's online. It's right now. I bring up the topic, and boom! I got full phone lines, and the email box is blown up. It's something people want to talk about.
Hey, you know, and another thing, common. You don't fix what's not broke. And this guy's having a good year. He's having a solid year. And what I remember most about Teddy, I think Keenum actually has a better arm. He has a better touch.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because how many times did we see Teddy overthrow Mike Wallace? Oh, maybe 6 or 7 times. And don't hang up, please let me finish. He had 8 quarters 2 years ago against Seattle, and the offense didn't get a frickin' touchdown.
Yeah.
You remember that? And
yeah.
I think both games were at the college stadium.
Okay.
And definitely the last one was.
Okay, now let me...
What do you got to say about that?
Well, now let me ask you something, and don't hang up on me, okay?
You said don't
fix something that ain't broke, right? You remember years ago, you probably don't remember this, but years ago when you wanted to bring water to your encampment, to your home, you had to go down to the river with a big pail of water and then bring it back to the house. It worked very well. And then you know what they did?
Yeah.
They actually built a water tower, and now you can turn on a faucet in your house, and the water comes directly to your house. That way to get water before wasn't broke, it just improved. So the point is, if people think Bridgewater is a better quarterback and improves the position, wouldn't you want to do that?
Brilliant.
Thanks,
Mike. No, because it's not common sense.
I'm the common man, so I understand about common sense. Mike, thanks. I appreciate it.
That was one of the best responses I've ever heard. That's brilliant.
Tennessee, are you familiar with Henry Ford?
Yes.
He invented the Model T and the Model A. You used to have to go out to the front of the car and you have to crank it to start it.
Yeah.
Worked fine.
Sure.
Car started every time. And then somebody said, how about if you put a key in an ignition, you can just sit in the car and just turn it without any effort, and it starts right up.
Brilliant.
Well, that's great. It makes it an improvement.
Yeah.
So that's all people are saying. There are people that think Bridgewater, and I'm one of those, and I could be wrong, and it might take him, he might be too rusty right now. I think, and I could be wrong, maybe I've read Bridgewater incorrectly as far as his ability. I think Teddy has a chance long-term when the two careers are over. Teddy Bridgewater is going to be a better quarterback than Case Keenum. I might be dead wrong. And you know what? It doesn't really, if you're talking about being in the moment, it doesn't matter who's better long-term, who's better for the next rest of November,
yeah.
December, hopefully into January. And if Keenum's that guy, I don't mind riding Keenum. I don't.
And I've said it 1,000 times, but I'll say it again after hearing that call. I hate when you do the old, look at Bridgewater stats and look how he did in the games against Seattle. That's a completely different team, completely different players, completely different offense. He's got much better receivers now. The offensive line now is the best we've had here in a long time. I think the offensive coordinator is pretty darn good. It's just completely, it's not a fair comparison. And if you want to do the old, well, look how Bridgewater did back then. Well, you could do the same thing for Case Keenum, because Case Keenum back then was just as bad or just as the same. Case Keenum was putting up the same numbers in Los Angeles. He was putting up the same numbers in Houston. But he got better.
There was a time, Tennessee, when if you wanted to kill a fly that was in your house, a house fly, you'd roll up a newspaper and chase him around. Then somebody invented a fly swatter. And then somebody even took it a step further and invented fly paper. Because fly paper requires no effort on your part. You don't even have to swing and take a chance on throwing your shoulder out and having trouble with your labrum. You just hang it up. And the fly paper and the flies attached to it.
Well, don't they have like that little, I don't even know what it's called, like the light thingy you can put it, like the fluorescent light you can put on the outside that draws the flies in?
I think
in.
We call it light thingy.
Yeah, light thingy.
I think is what we call it. People want to know, how do they get to the, where do they go to get to the poll? How do they vote on?
That's on my Twitter page.
So what do people do? I don't know how that works.
You can go to Twitter, twitter.com, or if you have the Twitter app.
Yeah.
And just search for at B. Molesky KFAN.
And let's run this until tomorrow. We'll have results tomorrow.
Sure.
It's
a day-old poll.
Is it still 80-20?
I'll have to look it up.
Are the Bridgewater bozos coming out? And you know what? They're thinking at a lot of the precincts. Not all precincts are reporting yet either, Tennessee. No. Not all precincts are reporting.
We're now at 616 votes, but the tallies are the same. 80% for Keenum, 20% for Bridgewater.
So the Keenum crazies are out in full force. They're voting early. They're voting up. And you know what? I don't know. Are people stuffing the ballot box, too? I mean, that's a possibility. Because I don't think we have any way to track that, do we?
What do you think that percentage would have been a week ago? Before we saw the way Case played in Washington.
Oh.
I doubt it would have been 80-20.
I don't think it would have been 80-20 either.
Yeah.
I think also for a lot of people, it's also people just, A, don't trust Bridgewater's knee. And they didn't see enough of a... You know, he wasn't having a meteoric rise as a quarterback. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, did you see the jump he made from year one to year two? I can hardly wait to see year three. It was like, he was a little better. Yeah, but I don't. So I think that's part of it.
Well, and where he was looking better was the following preseason.
Yeah.
So, but then you do the old, well, it's preseason, right? I mean, how many times have you seen a player look good in preseason? So it's hard to put too much stock into it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I don't know.
A lot of people are all about that Case.
Yeah. Now, apparently, there's somebody just sent me a screenshot where they're doing comparisons of Christian Pond. Oh, no, they did this before. There was a screenshot. This was done first 3 years comparing Christian Ponder and Brett Favre.
Nobody did that.
Well, no, it's somebody showed me a screenshot.
Nobody
right.
did that.
Yes, they did. NFL quarterback comparisons first 3 years. Christian Ponder had 35 starts and 14 wins. Brett Favre had 29 starts and 17 wins. Ponder had more passes, 1,013, 997 for Favre. Ponder threw 38 touchdowns and 34 interceptions. Favre only 37 to 39.
Wow.
Passer rating, they were dead even, 77.3 after 3 years. I don't know what that means, if anything at all. Tennessee, thanks for having me.
Hey, great job.
You too. We'll check our poll tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your day. And join us again tomorrow at 12 noon. Mark Rosen will be back as well. Enjoy the rest of your day. Stick around, though. Dan Barrero and JG, they are next right here on what we call The Fan.
Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
Listen back to a podcast of today's show. Visit the Common Man channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.